This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
I'm saying that Abe Lincoln could dunk James Madison.
Oh, okay. That's what you're telling me.
Tell everybody in America, what's the name of that song?
It's a Hokey Pokey.
You're exactly right.
It's a Hokey Pokey.
From Flatwoods, Kentucky. Garbanzo Beans. Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We're the ones who helped get Garbanzo Bean his start. But giving little credit for it now that he's out on a national tour making millions of dollars. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. And, these big shots, you know, they make it up there. They forget the little people who helped them along the way.
Yeah. Garbanzo.
Yeah.
Is that what we call
Garbanzo
him?
Bean?
Garbanzo, yeah. See, I don't even like to remember his first name. the way he treated us after he became famous. J.J. Jasper over there. Good morning, J.J.
Good morning. Good to be here.
What happened to your voice?
I feel better than I sound. You know, a DJ with no voice is like a giraffe with a sore throat.
I'm not sure I quite understand that, but I think it went over my head.
A giraffe with a sore throat. That's one long sore throat.
Yeah.
You know,
I get it now. Now that you guys are explaining.
Are you going to be able to hang
on? Yes, sir. If I need a hall pass, I'll let you know later on the program.
Okay.
But I bet we won't hear the old codger today.
Here's the deal.
He'll be tamped down.
Here's the deal. All right, Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We also call this
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask three questions each. That's JJ, Ed, and Tim. We're going to ask three questions each, trivia questions, and then let you call in and answer and or ask us a trivia question. And we prefer that you do both. So you can do that. Now, if you haven't, the one ground rule we have here is that if you've called and gotten on the air in the last 4 weeks, please do not call, because we want to give as many new people an opportunity to get on the air with us as possible. So where's the phone number? I don't have it.
I have it. 888-589-8840 is the number to call.
Give it again, please.
888-589-8840.
We also have a mystery question, and when that is answered correctly, you will hear this. Yes, a beloved cowbell will ring, and you will know then that you have won what, Ed?
Well, you will have won a brand new T-shirt.
That's
from
good.
This, yes.
A brand new one.
That's right. Well, we do have some used.
Right.
If we have to give some of those away.
Pre-owned, Ed.
Pre-owned T-shirts. I don't know why anyone would kick. They wear jeans that look like they were owned by a whole village.
I'm with you,
that
Ed.
Shared it somewhere.
America's changing.
It is. It's changing. Hey, not for the better.
You see these ads and they say certified pre-owned. You really have to certify that something was pre-owned.
Right, right.
If it's not new there in the showroom at the dealer and somebody's owned it, well, that's a given.
That's right.
Not certified pre-owned.
And this is a Learning University T-shirt, our new one.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. And by the way, we have the Learning University T-shirts. They're brand new. We released them about a month ago, I guess. Brand new design and everything. And if you want to order you one, they're only $15, right?
Right. 15. That's cheaper than the first one we did.
Right.
They were 20.
Right. And we sold out of those.
Yes.
So I don't know why we're going down on our prices, but.
Because these are apparently getting more popular.
They took my lead. That's the way I buy stocks. I buy high and sell low.
They go down?
Yeah.
They go down? All right. So anyway, if you want one of our Learning University Trivia Friday T-shirts, and who doesn't? Then you need to go to our website, afastore.net. afastore.net, $15, folks. That's pretty cheap.
And that helps the ministry, too.
Yeah, it does help us, and we'll send it in there. Is shipping and handling included in that, or they get tacked on? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, it's hard to believe Christmas right around the corner. This is November. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, fall back. We change our clocks this weekend. That's this weekend.
Is that this weekend?
Right. But here it is, November, and those that you know that are a huge fan of Learning University, this T-shirt would make a great stocking stuffer.
It would.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So go to afastore.net, $15, you get your T-shirt right there. For Learning University, that'd be a go ahead and order that and wear that proudly. You'll get a lot of comments around town knowing that you know you're a student there,
and you'll find out other people will come up to you. They see you in that T-shirt. You'll meet other.
You'll
students.
Start asking each other trivia questions.
That's right, right there on the spot.
You'll bond.
Yes,
with many in your community just right. by wearing that T-shirt.
We guarantee it.
All right, Ed. What are your three? Is that everything I need to say?
I think so.
Okay. What are your three questions?
All right. Here are mine. World Series just ended. The Houston Astros won. So here's a baseball question. The Houston Astros were previously known as what when they first came into the league? What were the Houston Astros known as? Second question. A big new Marvel movie coming out this weekend. The new Thor movie. So here's a Marvel question. In the Marvel superhero films, there is a shadowy organization called S.H.I.E.L.D. What does S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for? Now, you'll probably have to look that one up, but I know some of you might know that off the top of your head. And then third question, Max Baer Jr. is the well-known actor who played Jethro Bodine on the Beverly Hillbillies. What did his dad do for a living?
Good questions. Here's what I've got. First question, what is a female donkey called? What is a female donkey called? Second question, in the children's nursery rhyme, what comes next after Mary, Mary, quite contrary? What's the next line after Mary, Mary, quite contrary? Then third question, true or false? Peter Ostrom is the 13-year-old child actor who played Charlie in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Here's my question. That was his first and only movie appearance. He left show business after that movie and went on to become a veterinarian in New York. Is that true or false? Charlie, 13-year-old Charlie from Willy Wonka, that was the one and only movie he ever made. He left show business, became a veterinarian.
Gene Wilder, right?
Gene was the original. Yeah.
The original.
You mean there was a remake?
Yes, with Johnny Depp.
Well, this is the original.
This is the original.
Glad I didn't see
1971.
That.
Some movies shouldn't be remade.
No, I agree with you. It's like remaking, you know, The Wizard of Oz or something. It just shouldn't be.
Which
shouldn't
has also
happen.
Been done.
Huh?
Which has also been done.
You're kidding me.
No, yeah. There was a, like a Harlem, New York version, The Wiz. Diana Ross
played it. Oh, that was a Broadway play, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they did a Michael film Jackson. Version.
All right, Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. By the way, you can watch the show on Facebook Live if you want to. Go to Today's Issues Facebook Live, and you can watch the show there live and post questions and comments. You can also send us an email at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Here are my three questions. Simple one. Start off with, which American inventor is generally given credit for invention of the lightning rod? Which American inventor is generally given credit for the invention of the lightning
rod? That was a shocking discovery. I mean, I wanted to be noted.
It was, J.J. And I just want to know, that's one of those questions you have where you go, what was he thinking? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What was this? If it was a he, what was he thinking when he was, why would you want to do that? I mean,
I remember right before he went out there, the thing he said right before the discovery was, hey, Bubba, watch this.
Watch this. You know that lightning that'll strike a tree and split it in half? Watch what I do.
Well, I don't think this fella talked like you did right there, Ed. But
JJ started it. You always accused me of making fun of Southerners.
JJ either. I'm just saying, this guy wasn't from South.
he wasn't from another
part of the country. All right, what is the common term for a rotating tray often placed on a table to aid in distributing
food? That's a good question.
Distributing food. What is the common term for a rotating tray often placed on a table to aid in distributing food.
I think would be awesome is to have some sort of like rotating refrigerator when you're watching a ball game. It just periodically rotates by your recliner. You get some stuff out.
Hey, you're on something.
I'm on something, all right.
Hey, let me ask you this. Yeah. And I don't want to try to make this too difficult. Is that the same thing? Is that the same name as the rotating deal in the cabinet? Like you got a corner cabinet in the kitchen?
You know, I don't know. I've heard of this, but I wouldn't have been able to answer my own question. And when I saw the answer, I said, I've heard that term before, okay. But I didn't really know what was. Final question from Tim, Professor Dean Tim, actually. I'm the dean of this here school. What is the name for a male bee? Now, pay attention now.
Yeah.
What is the name for a male bee, B-E-E, that comes from an unfertilized egg? An unfertilized egg. That kind of defies science. That you could have some kind of animal come from an unfertilized egg.
So you got your bonnet on.
Seems to me.
You got your bonnet on.
Well, you get your bonnet and a burr.
And then you got the bee in the bonnet.
Yeah, and it's kind of burr.
From an unfertilized egg. What's the name of it?
And the burr would be under the saddle.
It would.
It's an unfertilized burr.
You try riding a horse with an unfertilized burr under your bee.
That horse won't even know its name.
While you're wearing a bonnet.
Yes.
I bet Garbanzo Bean never did that. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I just got to tell you, if I ever see either you or JJ wearing a bonnet, I don't care if you're riding on a horse or not. Our relationship, our friendship is over. So, all right. Not really.
Yeah, really.
I'm very accepting.
Yeah. I see one of you wearing a bonnet. I'm going the other direction. All right, who we got first?
All right, we go to Texas, and John is on the line. John, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, John. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I want to do both, but can I make a comment first?
Can we stop you? You go right ahead, John.
I guess you could hang up on me.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was at the Montgomery County Right for Life fundraiser when J.J. Jasper came to speak.
Oh, good.
And, and it was such a pleasure meeting J.J. When I went up and shook his hand, it was almost like he recognized me. It was just like, it was like meeting an old friend from high school or something that you hadn't seen in a while.
Okay.
Well, that's a compliment to J.J.
I thought that was really great. And I mean this in the best way, Jeff, JJ. You're like my dog.
Oh, good.
Never meet somebody that he doesn't know. Never meet someone that he doesn't know. But anyway, it was really great having him there. And also, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, but JJ and Melanie donated all their proceeds from their book sale that night to Montgomery County Right to Life. And he also brought a check from Tim Wildman from the AFA Association as a donation. So kudos to all of you.
Well John, thank you, John. Thank you so much. And I know JJ well enough. I've known him since the mid-80s. He would not be the one to mention that. And I didn't know that. Thank you for all your kind words.
Yes,
John.
Thank you, John.
We are very, very, very pro-life here.
Yep. Amen.
At American Family. All right, fire. You want to ask, answer, or do both, brother?
I want to do both.
Okay.
I'm gonna take Tim's lightning rod question.
All right, here it is. Let him repeat the question.
Yeah. All right, my question is this. Which American inventor is generally given credit for the invention of the lightning rod?
Benjamin Franklin.
Yes, sir.
Way to start us out, John.
Now, John, I got to ask you, do you know the story behind that?
Yeah, I know he went out with his son to fly a kite and put a key on the kite string And the pictures that you see portray his son as being like 10 or 12 years old, and his son was actually a young adult at the time.
Yeah, but I guess I'm just wondering, and maybe I'm the only one, you're just sitting in your house, I guess, maybe reading a book, and You just decided to go outside during a storm? Was it during a storm?
Lightning.
Or a storm was coming up.
Storm was coming up?
Yeah.
Do storms ever come down, Ed?
What I'm saying is I'm not sure. No, it might be, but I'm not sure. I think the storm was coming in. Let me say this, blowing in, and he went out and did it. I don't think he was out.
But he was a genius, obviously, because he had some idea that there was something. I don't know if they even called it electricity. I don't know what they called it. But something powerful that was going to happen, I guess. But, I mean, to put your life at risk, maybe he didn't even know he's going to put his life at
Well,
risk.
And I'm sure, I guess what I'm saying is, I'm sure he wasn't flying the kite in a storm for entertainment or
for activity.
Like
I would, for example.
He just, this was a way, as the storm came up, for him to reach into the heavens, so to speak, to try to attract a lightning bolt.
This sounded so good right there. That sounded biblical almost. What did you say? To reach into the heavens with your kite and grab a lightning bolt?
Grab a lightning
bolt?
By
the tail?
That did, you know what? I'm going to excuse myself. I'm going to write that down.
That'll preach right there.
Hey, John, you got the lightning round.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting this started out.
It was Benjamin Franklin. What's your question for us, John?
Also, a little known fact was Benjamin Franklin had his son out there holding the kite. And he was undercover. He was not out in the storm.
His son's about 30 sitting around going, you know what my dad did with me one time? I'm going to tell you, you think your dad did something but taking you snake hunting? Well, tell me what my dad did. Took me out in the yard and had lightning.
Okay, now this is probably going to hurt you, son, more than it's going to hurt me.
You hold it, son. I'm going to go over here and watch.
I'm going to take notes on what happens.
All right, go ahead. Fire away, brother.
Okay, who was the first president to use an armored car?
Well, let's talk amongst ourselves for a minute, John.
I'm going to say LBJ after what happened, maybe. That's just a guess.
Well, we'd have to have a car. Right.
So
it has to be after the car was invented. An armored car. I'm kind of with you right there, JJ.
Because he was riding around in a convertible. So
JFK.
So it wasn't like they were, you know.
All right, let's go with your answer.
Kind of gentler.
Let's go LBJ. That sounds good. LBJ is our guest, John.
No, actually, it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And at that time, the budget for a presidential car was only $750, so they couldn't build an armored car for that. And after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, it was kind of like 9/11, where they had to get Bush back to D.C. And so they were trying to figure out how to get Franklin Delano Roosevelt back to D.C. safely, and they needed an armored car, and they just happened to have confiscated Al Capone's armored car when they arrested him, so they used it.
Huh.
That's trivia right there.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Well, then later, he did have an armored car built for himself. And strangely enough, it was a convertible, so I don't know how armored that would have been. But the next president after that to have an armored car was LBJ.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
It did not come about until after the assassination of JFK.
I'm sorry, but an armored car convertible, that sounds like a screen door in a submarine to me. I mean, that just sounds, that just screams
sir.
Oxymoron.
Yes, sir. That's what I was thinking.
Well, John, thank you. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. All right. Should we keep going?
Well, we got an hour and 10 minutes, Ed, so I think probably so.
All right. We go to Louisiana. Keith is on the line. Keith, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Yes, sir. How's all the professors doing?
All right, Keith, my brother. Thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
From Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Yes, sir. We just had fun with that a couple weeks ago, trying to get the names correctly pronounced.
We sure did. For the towns.
I think we figured that out.
Natchitoches?
Yeah.
In Louisiana.
That's right.
Texas, it's Natchitoches.
You got a good memory, Ed.
On some things.
Yeah. You know, all right, go ahead.
You know, Nacogdoches sounds like a compliment. Somebody comes out on Sunday morning and goes, wow, you look Nacogdoches.
It does sound like a compliment. That's right.
Or you'll take some Nacogdoches and cheese dip you know, in a Mexican restaurant. That might work too.
That's I want some of the white Nacogdoches.
Yes,
yeah,
that would work. I think. What's
yes, sir. They're actually sister cities. They were mm-hmm. two Indian guys, and they got
an argument.
A feud, and one of them rode to Nacogdoches, Texas.
Yeah.
But I'd like to try the nursery rhyme.
Here's the question, Keith. In the children's nursery rhyme, what comes next after Mary, Mary, quite contrary?
I believe it's How Does Your Garden Grow?
Whoa!
Whoa!
Where did your garden grow? Ed and I got it wrong. We guessed. Before the show started, Professor Jasper asked us that question. We said,
Eating your curds and whey.
We said, eating your curds
and whey. Is that even in the same nursery rhyme?
No, I think that's a little spider.
Yeah, is that even the same nursery rhyme?
Mary, Mary, quite contrary. She ate her curds and whey.
Was it?
Yeah.
And along came a spider and sat down beside her.
Oh, is that the same one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I don't know. Is it the same one?
Well, then she jumped over a candlestick. Yeah.
And there was a cow in the moon and something.
Yeah. Cow got away from
Harry Chapin wrote a song on that whole deal right there.
The cat's in the cradle.
Hey, way to go, Keith. You know what that cowbell means, huh?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, so make sure when we're done with you on the air, we know you've got a question for us. We're just going to put you on hold, and Cindy Roberts will get your information, and we will ship out to you a brand new, never been worn Learning University Trivia Friday t-shirt. How's that?
Right. I appreciate it.
All right.
What's your question for us, brother?
Sounds great. I got a true or false question. Louisiana has the tallest state capitol building in the United States. Is that true or false?
State capitol building.
I'm going to say true just because why would he bring it up if it wasn't true?
Yeah.
And that's just a guess.
We're going to do a little psychology on Keith. I'm going to go with JJ. What about you, Tim?
I read about this when I was 11. And
well, if you can remember how old you are when you read it.
It was Wisconsin or Idaho.
Was the tallest?
There was like a 3-foot difference between the two. So I'm going to go. I'm going to say false.
But the lightning rod, some can. I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say false.
All right. So we got JJ and I going to go true. Tim is going to go false.
Keith. We got this.
So what? Somebody's got it right.
The majority wins 2/3, 100% true.
Really?
Right. Yeah. So I was misled as an 11-year-old boy.
You were.
Yeah.
Unless Louisiana added some to it. All right, Keith, we're going to put you on hold, brother, okay? Congratulations.
How tall is it?
Yeah, how tall is it, Keith?
450 feet tall with 34 floors.
Wow.
How many floors?
Humongous.
In Baton Rouge? You talking about the state capitol?
That is Nacogdoches.
In Baton Rouge.
that doesn't seem 30. That's a high rise. Is that the tallest tallest building in Baton Rouge?
It must be.
Okay. All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Put you on hold, Keith. Hang on.
And that's why we have this program.
Yes.
That was very, very interesting trivia.
I'm going to look that up.
That's got to be it's got to be in a high rise. That's got to be. It can't be the whole bit. That whole building can't be.
34
stories? Yeah. I mean, that can't be the whole building, is it?
It may be.
I mean, the whole building is the state
house? I'm going to Google State Capitol Building of Louisiana. Who was our caller there?
That was Keith.
What are you saying? Keith always tell the truth?
Well, I don't know.
I think he sounded
We're sending him a t-shirt.
All right. Well, I'm going to look that up while we're on break and see what we got here. We got a high rise. All right.
Well, who could compete with that?
We're going to take a break right here and be back in, 2 or 3 minutes, and we will forge ahead here.
Oh, we're going to do some forging.
We're going to forge ahead. Right here on Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. I am looking at that. That is a high rise.
Keith's telling the truth.
Yeah.
Keith, you rock, brother.
We'll be back. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman. Our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, as well as Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, they fill up several months in advance. So I'm letting you know now, Our June and September tours are ready to sign up for. If you want to register, go to our website, spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com, and check out our June and September 2018 tours.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. You know, people rarely come to the Lord in one conversation, so we should value every conversation as if it is the conversation. When I first learned that sharing my faith is not an option, I did everything wrong that I could do wrong and still had good results. My biggest mistake and biggest frustration was thinking I failed every time the discussion ended without a decision. I'd get upset with myself, even God, until I learned God's timing, which is not our timing. Everyone's on a spiritual journey, and only God knows where any individual is on that journey. This is where our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is so precious. The Holy Spirit is always there before us, ready to use our willing hearts to change the hearts of others. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
From director Kevin Sorbo and executive producer Sean Hannity comes Let There Be Light. Saul Harkins is a man who has turned away from God, but a near-fatal car crash gives him one last chance to renew his life, his family, and his faith. Let There Be Light, rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. More information is available at LetThereBeLightMovie.com.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. For as far back as anyone can remember, the guys wore navy blue gowns and the girls wore pale blue gowns. That's the way graduation's been at California's Camarillo High School. But this year, that tradition comes to an end, all for the sake of gender inclusivity. The school district decided graduation gowns will only be one color to accommodate students who are gender neutral or have no gender at all. It's the latest cause celeb for the sex and gender neutral revolutionaries. Students are furious. They don't understand why they have to end a tradition to accommodate one person, if that many. But there might be a simple fix. I say the guy should show up on graduation day wearing navy blue and the girl should wear powder blue. And if the principal objects, just tell them you're color neutral. And as a color neutral student, your navy blue gown actually identifies as a powder blue gown. Well, that ought to get the school district seeing red. I'm Todd Starnes.
Brian Fisher here. Today we'll talk about the 10 keys to America's future, about how the president should respond to the judge who ordered transgenders into the military, and about how the Democrats are turning on Hillary. Plus, we'll listen as a congressman launches a blistering attack on a pro-life citizen. That and more today on Focal Point at 105 Central.
Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man. With an eye like an eagle and as tall as a mountain was he. Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man. He was brave, he was fearless, and as tough as a mighty oak tree.
Well, how many of us baby boomers, boys, baby boomer boys, right when that show was going off, what did we do? We got our coonskin hats, if you had one.
I actually had a flintlock rifle.
Yeah,
and that I'd gotten
and headed for the back, the woods behind the
That's
house,
right?
Right?
Fight Indians.
Oh, those were.
I really did that.
Did y'all?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I have that song on my iPod.
Yeah, that's a great
song. I like some of those old songs.
That's a great song.
We were too poor to have a coonskin cap, but one of our neighbors, coincidentally, their cat disappeared. It was just a coincidence.
You're just kidding, right, JJ?
I'm just kidding.
Hey, by the top way, of my catskin cap.
Little known fact, JJ has a family tie to Hollywood royalty, actually.
Really?
Yeah, tell them the story, JJ. We're listening to Daniel Boone, played by Fess Parker.
Fess Parker. My dad was in a movie with Fess Parker, and in my office I've got the picture. There's Fess Parker, my dad. Fess Parker is dressed as Daniel Boone, and then it's got the Warner Brothers, like however much he made, $40 or something.
Yeah.
Do you still get royalties from that?
No. I don't think anybody ever did get royalties, but it was like $40. He was an extra in a movie.
Yeah.
So your dad was an extra in a movie with Fess Parker. Was that filmed in Kentucky?
It was filmed in Kentucky on the Ohio River.
What was the movie about?
It's called Davy Crockett and the Riverboat Pirates. You can still get it on.
I've seen it within the last couple of years. It was
that would be cool.
Turner Classic Movies.
Dad was one of the Indians that he threw off the barge. But we watched a little piece of
Native Americans, JJ.
Native Americans, yes, please. Yeah.
Well, no, they actually don't mind Indian.
Okay.
I'm serious.
They don't.
I looked this up about 5 years ago, and it said most of them call themselves Indians.
Okay. Is it like calling somebody white or calling them Anglo?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter?
Yeah. It's politically correct people who are always correcting everyone.
Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Let's repeat our questions quickly, and then back to the phones we shall go here. And we are taking your calls at 888-589-8840 for Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. We also call this
Learning University
is on the air. 888-589-8840. Your questions, Ed.
All right. The Houston Astros just won the World Series. What were the Houston Astros previously known as when they first came into the league? Second question, in the Marvel superhero films, there's a shadowy organization called S.H.I.E.L.D. What does S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for? Most of you who get this right will probably have to look it up, but all you have to do is Google it. Third question, Max Baer Jr., is the well-known actor who played Jethro Bodine on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Mm-hmm.
What did his father do for a living?
Mm-hmm. Here's what I've got. First question, what is a female donkey called?
Female donkey.
What is a female donkey called? Second question, true or false?
Was that a cat? What was that?
I don't know. It was a hybrid. It was a cat-donkey hybrid.
Chimera.
I don't know. Second, I just gave it a shot.
Second question. True.
I didn't see anybody else trying to make a donkey sound here.
So well, actually, JJ can when his voice is
that's true.
Is doing.
But he's not here today. I'm having to fill in.
Yeah.
For animal noises, it's on Tim.
It's on Tim. So stop complaining. So, right?
Yeah, I'm doing my best I can, Ed.
True or false? The 13-year-old child actor who played Charlie in Willy Wonka, that was his one and only movie. He quit show business after that movie. Went on to become a veterinarian in New York. Is that true or false? Then I'll add one. Number three, what Spanish explorer is credited with discovering the Mississippi River?
Oh.
What Spanish explorer is credited with discovering the Mississippi River?
All right, my questions are as follows. What is the name for a male bee that comes from an unfertilized egg? What is a name for a male bee that comes from an unfertilized egg? Number two, what is the common term for a rotating tray often placed on a table to aid in distributing food? What is that thing called? Number three, what continent, this is a simple question, but I'll ask it anyway. What continent is home to half the world's people?
Good question.
You don't know that really. You probably need to quit listening to the radio, playing trivia, and just bury your head in a book for about a year, okay?
Catch up.
Yeah, that's pretty basic.
Hey, you know what? You're going off the same playbook that some of my teachers did. Browbeat the students. That's the way to
humiliate them.
That's the way to get those grades up. Just browbeat them.
Go, Ed. Go put your nose in the corner.
Right. All right, let's go.
Just again. All right, we go to Iowa. Ted is on the line. Ted, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, I can't believe I actually got on. I'm excited about that.
All right, well, then don't blow it now, Ted. Now, don't forget your question or something like that with the pressure on.
Oh, hey, I've been thinking about this question for a couple months, and so I'm ready.
All right.
Hey, Ted, I was in Iowa last week, and when I got up on Friday morning, it was in the 20s with light snow. So you guys get winter weather pretty early there in Iowa, don't you?
Yeah, we usually get snow around Thanksgiving. I remember a lot of white Thanksgivings, but few white Christmases.
Yeah. What's your question? I mean, what question do you want to answer?
I'll answer the B question.
Yeah, the B question. All right, brother. Who are we talking to
this
here?
This is Ted from
brother,
Iowa.
Brother Ted. Brother Ted, here's the question. What is the name of a male bee that comes from an unfertilized egg?
I believe it's a drone.
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 A drone. Wow. What? Ted, do you?
Ted, yeah.
Ted, do you know what that? Can you give us any explanation to that animal there?
No, I was thinking another name you might give it would be a eunuch, but I'm not. Really
I don't.
Sure
I, you know, I don't. I just got the question. You know, I just pulled the question, but I don't know. I wish I knew a little bit more about this because I mean, does that? Do you understand this process?
You're saying how can you get any bee
from an unfertilized egg? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know the end.
Well,
you know,
these
that's
are all immaculate bees. I mean, is that what we're talking about here?
I think that's the. I better not. No, now we know, I'm stopping right
now,
there.
Now all these drones that are so popular that people are using, you know,
yes.
Now we know where they got their name from.
Yeah. Right.
Name of
a
bee.
They unfertilized too?
The apparent. Let's hope so.
Well, what is the name
well,
for
I don't know. They seem to be being fruitful and multiplying.
That's right. Yes.
What
everywhere.
Is the name of a male bee that comes from an unfertilized egg? Ted is correct from Iowa. It is a drone.
A drone.
All right, brother, fire away.
What's your question?
Well, the name Noah appears in the Bible. How many people in the Bible are named Noah? And who's
what?
You just go ahead. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, okay. I thought you might, and that's why I was going to try to nudge you on.
You keep catching a bag. Ted, you know we got PETA folks listening to this program right now.
No cats were harmed in the recording of this show.
All right.
All right. So
nor were their tails used for hats, as JJ said earlier.
Or their skins.
They are just cruel.
All right. All right, Ted, we're going to talk amongst ourselves here.
What's the question?
How many Noahs are there in the Bible?
Well, so, you get the Noah and the Ark guy right there. That's one.
That's the first one that came to mind.
Write that one down.
You write that one down. I'm just guessing this probably just one, just the one Noah.
I don't remember any other Noahs.
I mean, yeah. I don't know about all those begats, you know, yeah. So-and-so
well,
begats.
You see a lot of other names show up.
You could have one in the
I don't recall ever seeing another
in the
Noah.
Begats down there, route number 23.
You think maybe
you
that
have one of them that slipped in there.
Yeah.
And we don't know. We're going to say one.
We're going to say one, Ted.
One and only.
Okay, well, there's actually two. There's a fella from the tribe of Manasseh by the name of Zelophehad. And don't ask me how to spell that.
Okay.
Anyway, he had five daughters. And one of those daughters named Noah.
So he was the first one to change Chris or Kelly or whatever and change it from one gender to the other.
Yeah, it's kind of like Pat.
Right.
You're kind of like Pat. That's, you know, that's right.
We're going downhill, brothers.
Yes,
I don't know.
We went downhill a long time ago.
Would you ask a girl named Noah out on a date, though?
Well, no, it doesn't say whether Noah had children, so maybe she didn't get a date.
I don't know. No, that might be hard to get a date if you named Noah.
And boy, I just thanks a lot, Dad. You named me Noah.
Numbers chapter 26.
All right.
Thanks, Ted. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to turn your clock back.
Yeah, so, wow. So, Noah, two Noahs.
Did not know of that.
Oh,
broom. I just came up with that like that.
Did not know of
boom.
That.
Just that is. Come on.
Right. That's awesome, and that makes up, frankly, for your imitation of a donkey.
Does donkey slash cat?
Yeah.
All right.
Shall we continue?
I think we should.
All right. We go to Indiana, and Rena is on the line. Rena, did I pronounce your name correctly?
Actually, it's Rena.
Rena. Okay, so I was wrong. I'm not wrong very often, but all right, Rena, well, welcome to the show, and you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I've actually called before, and I'd like to do both.
Okay, well, which question do you want to try to answer?
The rotating tray question.
Oh, okay. This is a good question.
Is this Rena
right.
from
this is
where?
Rena from Indiana. She wants you to read your
from the great Hoosier State.
Yeah.
Okay. Rena calls, and here's a question, Rena, and then you can answer it. What is the common term for a rotating tray often placed on a table to aid in distributing food?
Lazy Susan.
Lazy Susan. Lazy Susan. Now, did you know that, or did your mama help you with that?
Mom helps me. She was texting me, right, Mom?
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay. You're learning.
And that's what I was thinking. That's what it's called in the cabinet. Kitchen
cabinet. Did you
cabinet.
Know that,
in
the JJ?
Kitchen
cabinet. Yeah. Lazy
I,
Susan.
I heard it, but
I didn't know exactly what it was, Lazy
Susan. I knew, and one time went to a restaurant not too long ago, first time ever, and they had one of those, and man, it was helpful. I'll tell you, it was at a conference or something where we were eating, you know, at a table with a bunch of folks, and so they had the, it was at the Cove.
Is that right? Lazy Susan.
At the Cove.
Yeah.
They had Lazy
yeah.
Susan. Yeah. Where you everyone can get their tea yeah. or their water, and
now,
that just circles
and this,
around.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. This is by memory, but I think like Edison, Ben Franklin, one of those guys invented that, named it after one of their daughters. It seems like by memory, one of those guys.
Well, it could have been Ben Franklin. He invented about everything else.
Lazy Susan, you might want to look that up. One of them invented it, I think, and named it after their. Daughter.
Well, it was named after his daughter Susan, but he didn't want to name it after his other daughter Noah.
Right.
So, because that just would have lazy Noah, you know. So, all right. Now that wasn't quite as good as I didn't know of that, but I'm trying.
That was really corny. But
I'm
it was
trying.
Good. It was so
Rena,
corny,
what's
so.
Your question for us?
What is the longest song from the movie Frozen?
From the movie what?
Now everybody
Frozen.
Frozen. The longest movie. The longest,
longest
song.
You know
it's
what?
The longest
was,
song.
Okay, just real quickly, I went to Disney on Ice with my grandchildren. When was it? 2 years? When anyway? I after Barney, I quit keeping up with kids stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Up until now, my grandchildren now they're big Paw Patrol.
Right. Oh yes.
You know Paw Patrol.
Oh yeah.
People have
Chase
small grandchildren. They know what we're talking about with Paw Patrol. But anyway, so this Frozen. Part of the show comes on, and like the kids just come go wow,
yeah.
You know. And I didn't have any clue what they were.
You didn't know anything about.
Well,
the movie
I'd heard
Frozen.
Of Frozen, yeah. But I didn't know any of the characters. I didn't know the story. I didn't know anything about it. But that age group of about about 7 to 15 in today's world, they know all about this.
Oh,
Frozen.
Let it go.
Sometimes you just have to let it go.
Yes.
That's right.
So y'all know about it.
I know about Paw Patrol and Dora, all that stuff.
Yeah. All right, she wants to know the longest song.
I don't know what the longest song, and I've seen it 10,000 times.
Yeah, you stumped us, Rena. What
I think
is
it's
the longest?
Moon River.
Moon River is the longest.
Mm, I'm just taking a shot. You guys aren't.
Well, I don't think Moon River's in the.
Well, it's better than nothing. You don't have a chance if you don't. Even
well, then
guess.
I'm going to go with Frozen.
Okay,
I'm going with Frozen because that was a song that was obviously meant to become a play on the radio song. So I'm going to go with Frozen, Rena. I mean, Let It Go.
Which Let It Go? There are two kinds. Remember.
Oh, okay. There's one that they played on the end credits or something.
Yeah, Demi Lovato version.
Oh, okay. Well, then if they're playing it on the end credits on an animated movie,
that's the one.
That's the one because they run those credits forever. So we'll say the version at the end during the credits.
You got it right.
Well, I got to say, Rena, you helped us out a little bit. So.
Thanks.
Wow, that's impressive. I had nothing to do with it. I went with Moon River, and I stuck with it. you know, Andy Williams sang that song.
Yeah, Moon River.
Late Andy Williams.
But you helped us get in there because, like, with the World Series, those guys that just sit there and watch those strikes go by, and you go, really?
You got to swing.
Right down the middle, and you didn't go
it's
down
the
swinging.
World Series.
It's the World Series.
You got to swing. Can't hit the ball if you don't swing.
Right. Well, Rena, do you, by the way, do you sing?
Yeah.
I was just wondering, so do you sing that song a lot, Let It Go?
Yep.
Give us the first line. Go ahead, line or two. Go ahead. The floor is yours. Here's the microphone. You get a free T-shirt.
If she sings?
Yeah.
All right, free T-shirts riding on it, Rena. You want to sing a line or two?
Go ahead. All right, a T-shirt and a mug. A T-shirt and a travel mug, both. And I'm not going any higher, Randy. Okay, so don't.
I mean, I feel like I'm at the airport.
It's T-shirt and a mug or nothing. Or nothing. Now you can sing a line or two. Go ahead.
I'll just pass.
Right. Oh, you pass. Okay, hey, that's all right,
she
Rena.
She didn't give in to peer pressure.
I'm hurt.
Good girl.
I'm hurt.
Rena, thank you, sweetie. You have a good weekend, yeah. Okay?
I'm impressed that she didn't give in to peer pressure. Well, she won't have to worry about it. She can
stand up to it.
Yeah.
Because that's like, what was that show? Let's Make a Deal?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you what's behind right, door right, number right, two and right. the $500 cash and the catskin cap.
And who were the two stars of that show?
Monty Python.
Monty Hall.
Monty Hall and Carol Merrill.
Carol Merrill.
Carol Merrill was Vanna White before Vanna White.
Yeah.
Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Let's repeat our questions that have
heretofore
gone unanswered.
Oh, right. There you go.
Here we go.
Heretofore gone unanswered.
All right, here are my three. The Houston Astros, who just won the World Series, they were previously known as what when they came in the league? Second question, in the Marvel superhero films, there is a shadowy organization called S.H.I.E.L.D. What does S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for? Third question, Max Baer Jr. is the well-known actor who played Jethro Bodine on the Beverly Hillbillies. What did his father do for a living?
Here's what I've got. What is a female donkey called? Second question, Charlie from Willy Wonka. That was the only movie he was ever in. He quit show business, went on to become a veterinarian in New York. True or false? Third question, what Spanish explorer is credited with discovering the Mississippi River?
All right, my question, I got one left. So you guys are going to have to loan me a question after the break, I guess. Here, this is my fourth question, so I've had three answered already. What continent is home to half the world's people? What continent is home to half the world's people? All right, let's go back to the phones.
All right, we go to Illinois, and Robert is on the line. Robert, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
How you doing, Robert?
Give me just a second. I'm on a delivery.
Okay.
All right.
I waited through my entire lunch break to get on.
Bless your heart. You sound like Doug Heffernan.
That didn't leave a mark.
You work for IPS?
No, I work for a janitorial supply company.
I got you.
But it's a lot
okay.
like it.
I got
Anyways,
you.
I'm hopping back in the truck.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want you getting in trouble.
I got my number two pencil all sharpened and my hands folded.
All right, Robert.
I'm ready to learn.
All right, stay with us, Robert. Stay with us. Okay, are you back in the truck?
Yes.
Okay, turn your key on. Turn your key on. Put it in drive.
No, don't. No, don't do that.
Never mind that. That's a bad instruction.
No. I'll just stay in the parking lot.
All right, you want to ask, answer, or do both, Robert, after all this? I hope you're
like to do both.
All right, I hope so. Which question you want to try to answer, Robert?
I guess the one about the female donkey, but before I answer that, that was worth the wait
female
right there.
About to give
that
birth.
Was worth the wait. Before I answer, though, I need to know if it's a trick question. Now, this was not a male donkey that self-identifies as a female.
That's a good one, Robert.
That's good.
No trick question.
No trick.
Here's the question, okay. Robert. What is a female donkey called?
Okay, since I'm not able to look it up because I'm out making deliveries, I'm just going to have to venture a guess here. Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Oh.
What's your real answer?
Is that your real answer?
I'm not laughing. I shouldn't be laughing at that.
I don't know. I'll just say emu. I don't know. I have no clue.
No, that's not it. Hey, what's your question for us?
Okay, my question is related to a little TV show. You might have heard of it. It's called The Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, we've heard of it.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's good. Excellent. That's an excellent imitation of a whistle.
You.
All right, Robert, what's your Andy Griffith question?
Imitation of
wisdom. Okay, I believe this is from season one, I think episode two. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I'm not 100% sure. But anyways, Deputy Barney Fife is pacing across the floor in the jailhouse, as he usually does. And he looks over at Andy, and he tells Andy, or Andy asks him, he says, "Barn, why are you all worked up? What's the matter? What's going on?" Or whatever. And so Barney looks at him, he goes, "Andy?" And then he tells him, he gives him the reason why he's all worked up. And he says that he has something in his body. And the thing he has in his body is telling him that it's time for lunch. What is it that he says he has in his body?
A drone, maybe? I don't know.
Not a drone.
No, huh? No, that's not it. Ed, you're our resident Andy Griffith Show expert. You're our best chance.
I vaguely remember this scene, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pull this out of all the other stuff that's stuck in my head. He says something's telling him that it's I just can't remember. I can vaguely remember the scene. Robert, you've stumped me. Can you, any, either you guys?
Okay. No,
you've got me. What was it?
Well, he's really hungry, and he's waiting on Aunt B to get there at the jailhouse with the fried chicken. So he says, "I got an internal clock. I got an internal clock, Andy." He goes,
"Okay, so that was
that's how I do it lunch.
Internal clock.
Time for lunch.
Okay. Internal clock in his body. Okay, I need to get back to watching Andy Griffith,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, so you can answer these kind of questions.
I can answer. I gotta, you know, stay up on my Andy Griffith trivia. So." Anyway, Robert, thank you so much, and get back to work. Hope you don't get into any kind of trouble. So that was Robert from Illinois. We've had a lot of calls from up there in the northern part of the country. So shall we continue?
Or yes, take one more time? Before
one
the
more?
Break.
All right. We go to Louisiana. Brett is on the line. Brett, we're up against the clock. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'll do both. I'm so excited I got through to you guys.
Hey, well, hey Brett, before you answer, did you know that y'all's state capitol was so tall?
Oh, I did, and it actually is the tallest building in the state of Louisiana.
Well, that was very impressive.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we looked
it
trivia.
Up. We looked it up. Which question you want to answer, Brett?
I think I'm going to go with the Max Bear. And look, I always promise myself if I got through, I've been trying and everything else. So I said, if I got through, I got to throw this out there that I love you guys. I'm not into sowing discord, but Ed, you're my favorite personality out there, buddy.
Wow.
You're not sowing discord.
No, we agree.
Yeah.
Well, I just, as JJ says, Brett, thank you for your honesty. I'm just really, really touched by your
and
honesty.
And your standards.
And your standards, whether they're too low or too high, thank you for
them.
Your standards.
Yeah.
You do have standards. Good. All right, Brett, here's the question. Max Baer Jr. is the well-known actor who played Jethro Bodine on the Beverly Hillbillies. What did his father do?
Now, if I'm remembering right, because I saw the movie Cinderella Man, wasn't he the professional boxer?
He was heavyweight boxing champion, Max Baer Sr. That's right. And that was I was watching Cinderella Man recently here in the past several weeks, and I said, that'd be a great trivia question, so I wrote it down.
Going to hang on through the break?
Can you hang on through the break, Brett? It'll mean
absolutely.
You'll be on the show longer than anyone else this morning. Okay, so
that's a great treat. Thank you.
All right, hang on.
Anyone that's heretofore been on the show?
Yes, heretofore. Right.
Now, Cinderella Man. I've never heard of that. Tell me about it.
Well, it's about James Braddock. It stars Russell Crowe. It happened his life during the Great Depression. It's really an eye-opening film about
true story.
True story.
Wow.
We'll be back in about 4.5 minutes with more of Trivia Friday on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.